Okay, tonight's study is the name of the Father. The first study we had on this, we dealt with who do men say that I am. The second study, we dealt with the first four Christological councils, the first ecumenical councils. And this study is flowing into that, but it's bringing out the fullness of the name of Jesus Christ. It's dedicated to Michael Servetus, who died October 27, 1553. He was burned at the stake in Geneva by John Calvin for believing Jesus Christ is the Father. He wrote on errors of the Trinity. He was a doctor from Spain and died at 44 years old. He stood in the Reformation for Jesus Christ as God. You can look him up on the internet. You can study some of his writings. All of his writings were not destroyed. His name is Michael Servetus. Okay, I'll start out here. John 17, 24 through 26. You don't need to turn there. We're going to try to move at a good clip here. John 17, 24, 26. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me, where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Lord here, you know, we've dealt with the first couple of studies, he's showing himself. We're talking about God manifested. We're talking, you know, 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. We're talking the express image of the Father. We're talking how God came and robed in flesh and was talking about this relationship with his Father. But here he brings in a beautiful, powerful scripture here, and he says, I declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Think of it once. Think of the absurdity that Jesus goes to them in you know, Matthew 16, who do men say that I am? In 15, and then 16 he goes, now who do you say that I am? And, you know, Peter answers him that he's the Christ. And he goes, blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So here Jesus is talking all this time before people and before the disciples and the apostles, and he's talking about the Father. And here he goes, he declares the name of the Father. According to the Trinitarian formula, the name of the Father is what? Father. Father. They don't sit there and give a real name. What Jesus Christ is declaring is the name of Jesus, which is the name of Jehovah with us. That's what the name Jesus means. And that's what this study is dealing with in this sort of almost mumbo jumbo to some people. They don't get it. Remember I told you the guy who prayed and how I've seen it so many times? Oh, and you know, Father, we pray. And then they finally cup it off with Jesus' name. And I knew the guy, and it was like, just like he's praying to God the Father up in heaven, sitting on a throne, has no name, don't know who he is, right? Can't really tell who he is. He's ethereal. He's platonic. He's Gnostic. He's, you know, out there in the galaxies that created heaven and earth. But we don't know who he really is. And then all of a sudden they cap it off with Jesus' name, just like they're praying to two gods. Like they're praying to a Father separate than the Son. Two entities. Which is a completely false concept. So here, Christ is going to reveal the name. Okay, so who's got Isaiah 9:6?
That'd be myself.
Okay, Chris?
Isaiah 9, verse 6. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
It's Isaiah 9:6. For as much a child is born unto, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Okay, John 5:43. Here's another beautiful gem for you folks who want to ever listen to this study again or take my notes or whatever. John 5:43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive. Jesus came in his Father's name. Who's got Isaiah 42:5 through 8? Michelle?
I, the Lord, have called you to demonstrate my righteousness. I will guard and support you for I have given you to my people as the personal confirmation of my covenant with them. And you will be a light to guide all nations to me. You will open the eyes of the blind and free the captives from prison. You will release those who sit in dark dungeons. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to anyone else. I will not share my praise with carved idols.
Praise God. And it says in my version, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people for light of the Gentiles. So remember, her says nations, which is fine. So here God is showing himself. He's going to open up the blind eyes. He's going to bring out the prisoners from prison. He's going to, you know, take those that are sitting in darkness, and he's going to bring them to the light. Matthew 11:5 is a partial fulfillment of this.
The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised and the poor have the gospel read to them.
Praise God. That's Matthew 11:5. When John the Baptist is in prison and he says, who are you? Are we to look for another? Jesus says, go tell John, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. He's fulfilling Isaiah. Now, the powerful part about that is that when Isaiah is talking in Isaiah 42, or whenever we're reading in the Old Testament, we're always using the term Lord, which is Jehovah. And I'll show that in just a bit here. Now, What happens is that Christ is coming in Jehovah's name, and he's fulfilling the things written in the prophets concerning what he's going to do. So all of a sudden, when you see things break out in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, there are scriptures that are coming from the Old Testament that Christ is showing the eternal Lord from the Old Testament, the I Am. That I am, the eternal one. The Exodus 3:14. He's showing that. And he when he's doing that and the works in front of these people, in front of the world, in front of the disciples, they're marveling. And then when the scriptures are brought in and the gospels, the people are meant to see that this definitely is God with us. You understand that? That's powerful. Okay, now the Holy Spirit, when they tried to make the Holy Spirit another person, the Holy Spirit is sent in Jesus' name. John 14.
If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you.
Praise God. So that's John, the 14th chapter, verses 15 to 21. Now, Kelly, since she's there, she can already also read us John 14, verses 26 through 28.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I.
Praise God. So the Holy Spirit comes in Jesus' name. That's how we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also has the name Jesus. It's back to this whole situation. He's a foreman, he's a CEO, and he's the owner of the company. Jesus Christ has to come as the Son of God to give the blood sacrifice to fulfill every jot and tittle of the Old Testament concerning sin, concerning the priesthood, but he also comes to them in the administration of the church to bring everything up as the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:17 said, lets us know Christ is in us, the hope of glory. We don't have three spirits. We've got the Spirit of Christ in us. And that the Father, everything the Father had before he came to Bethlehem, he now comes in the fullness in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, yet he lives by the eternal Father within him, when he dies on the cross, he's going to come into the church. But it's all Jesus. It's the Father that was in the Son that comes into the church. What they did by the language is that they tried to make it into three persons. Instead of being able to go and distinguish, God was working as God in the Old Testament. The plan of God was in Jesus Christ. The glory of God was in Jesus Christ. And that the Son was begotten and came into existence. And the eternal Spirit was in the Son doing the works. And then when Christ died on the cross in John 20 verses 21 and 22, I read, again Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's there. That's in Scripture. Christ is showing them, I am the Holy Spirit. He's coming into the church age as the Comforter, as the Advocate. He's going to help the church understand Scripture properly so that we're not confused by false prophets, by false interpretations, by wrong people that are going to come in my name and that are going to come out into the wilderness, and many false prophets are going to arise, the Lord told us. The Holy Spirit wants to bring us into all truth. Now, Luke 10, 21 and 22. Sharon, you've got that, right?
Yes. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him.
Praise God. So here's, again, this confusion. People don't know who Jesus is. The Son reveals the eternal Father. And the Father is in the Son. And he looks out with these scribes and these Pharisees and all these intelligent wise men, right? And he says, thank God. they don't get it. Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes, even so. So when Christ, I can't tell you, I could teach propositionally perfect tonight. I could do my job as a minister of the New Testament perfect tonight. But there is no way that I can reveal this to you. This is a revelation. You have to understand for yourself, like Thomas did. My Lord and my God. My Lord, my Jehovah and my Elohim. My complete fulfillment of the eternal spirit in the Old Testament that is in the body of Jesus Christ. And that I can't give that to you. I can only try to preach this study the best that I can. Because right now, what I taught on last week concerning these ecumenical councils, you know, you're talking 9/10 of the church world has this very fundamental doctrine wrong. Now, when you see Israel in the Old Testament and some of the kings took away the high places, there are other kings that were better than other kings, but the Bible said that they didn't take certain idols away. Now, you've heard me give the analogy that the light, you know, you turn the light on, you got someone's in first grade, but now you're getting more light, right? I'm not saying that all these people are in darkness, but when Christ calls you to a higher calling to understand who he is, you don't want to just sit there and go, you know, like a revolutionist. Oh, Jesus, he's a revolutionist. He was against capitalism. He stood up against evil and was always for the poor, right? Okay, that might be true that Christ was powerful in those kinds of areas, but he's more than that. He's more than that. Chris might be at Foreman, you know, but he's more than that. Chris might be that guy who writes the checks, but he's more than that. He also owns the company. I got tingles. Somebody is getting it. When I get that, when I feel it, I know the Spirit is touching somebody. You know, it's a discernment. Christ is asking them. He's almost, you know, I wouldn't call it teasing, but, you know, who do men say that I am? You know? You can't get it. He's telling these people you can't get only who the Son reveals. The Father knows who the Son is because they're one. John 10:30, I and my Father are one. They created this second God, the second God that's supposed to be coming out of Christ, you know, God the Son. It's not God the Son coming out of Christ. Who is it? God the Father is pouring out of Christ, doing the works. That's who's doing the works. One God, the same God that opened up the Red Sea, is living in Jesus Christ. That's the Father that's in Christ. All these terms met Greek philosophy and they just started going further and further and further out there. And they created a whole false perspective. Jesus' name is declared by the angel Gabriel in Luke 1:35. He's declared. The Bible says it. In Matthew 1:23, it shows us that his name is the name of God, Jehovah's salvation, Jesus the Messiah, Jehovah's manifest in flesh. He is Jehovah's salvation and is declaring the name of the Father. Gabriel comes and gives a name to Mary. His name shall be called Jesus. Jesus has the term to it, I am that I am. It has the Jehovah letters to it. It has the, what's called a tetragrammaton. The Jews put, Hebrew is a vowel point language. So many times you'll see in the Old Testament, in certain Bibles, you know, you'll see YH, kind of thing in four letters. That's Jehovah. A lot of people won't even pronounce it. That's the I am. That's the I am. That's what the first letters of Jesus means, J-E. It's the Jehovah part. And then the second part is salvation. Look it up on any single book that you want to. That's what his name is. Jehovah's salvation. The time is here. The fullness of time has come. A body hast thou prepared for me in Hebrews 10. Christ is coming. God came to the world. Emmanuel, God with us, is there. And he's going and using these terms, Father and Son. The Son is the humanity. the Father in him is greater than that humanity is. But they're forever linked as one. Okay, Exodus 6, verses 1 through 3.
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." And God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them."
Praise God. He's just given the Tetragrammaton in Exodus 3:14. I am that I am. Who should I tell the children of Israel? I am, right? And God said to him in that burning bush, "I am that I am." It wasn't the bush talking. Remember, the angel of the Lord was there. God the Son wasn't there. God used an angel to appear through. And whenever you see that angel, and it's capitalized in the Old Testament, L-O-R-D, it's that angel that's coming through. Never does God the Son appear. If God the Son would have been there as a created being, like Arius said, and then when Athanasius has to argue against it and go, he's substance of substance with the Father, he would have appeared in the Old Testament, but he never does appear in the Old Testament because he didn't come into existence until he was begotten in Luke 1:35 and in Matthew 1:23. He's begotten. And the glory of God, the concept that God had. Think of it once. How many houses would you buy if you went to an area right now over in Woodbury and said, "Oh man, there's some land here left. And we want a whole half acre. We want a big lot. We don't have a house. There's not a house there. We're not looking at a house. We're looking to buy the acreage." Well, what would you do? You'd make a blueprint. And if you can't draw it yourself, but you want your house custom made, what are you going to do? You're going to work with somebody who can make a schematic, a blueprint, right? God, in the beginning, in his eternal plan, knew that he would be glorified in the Son. He would be reaching the pinnacle of his glory and power by dying on the cross and being resurrected from the dead and being glorified. He knew that. So there was no God the Son in the beginning as a person. There was God the Son completely as the logos, as the concept of God, as the schematic, as the blueprint. Everything in nature and in the universe and in the Bible was working for God to be glorified in Jesus Christ. God was to become manifested in flesh and manifested in his Son. And he declared his name, Jesus. He declared his name. And for them to come there and, you know, come into philosophy and then later on go back and sit there and say, "What's the name of the Father? Father. What's the name of the Father?" They're right back to Aristotle. Aristotle said there was a prime mover, Plato and his nous and his philosophy, and that behind the universe is this, you know, this plan, whatever. They're sitting there. Isn't that what any religion does? You know, what's his name? Well, Allah, he's this, he that, or Zoroaster, or any of these religions. Jesus Christ was manifest as the express image. We could see him and we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father. And what name did he declare? Jesus. The angels brought it to him. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Now, Matthew 23:37. Look at the way the Lord here talks. You've got that, right, Chris?
Yeah. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing. See, your house is left to you, desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed, is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Look how clear it is. They don't see him as Jehovah. Any Jew knew the Lord was Jehovah. Any Jew in the world knew. And when he finally talks here like a father, how many times would I gather you? How would I, you that stone the prophets, I've tried to gather you. Like a hen would gather the chicks, and you were not willing. And now he says her house is left desolate, and they will not see him again until the tribulation period. Everyone that pierced him, they'll see him in that day of atonement. They'll understand that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, he's Jehovah. He's I am. He's the father of the Old Testament that they rejected. That's why the term here, Lord, is so powerful. Because it's still coming out of this concept of the Old Testament. Jesus came to them in his Father's name. And he declares that they will not see him again until they acknowledge that. The very name of Jehovah. Lord. So when Paul is knocked off his donkey in Acts 9, he asks, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." You think Paul didn't know who it was? He's Jehovah's salvation. And then it continues on, and it says Paul was to declare the name of Jesus in the Gentiles. Look what it says here in Acts 9, verses 15 through 16. "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings. And the people of Israel, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" Paul knew the name of Jesus Christ was the name of the Lord, was the name of the Father. He had it revealed to him in a very hard way. Colossians 3:17. Listen to this beautiful scripture. This is one from memory. "Whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father through him." That's the name to use. And who wrote it? The Apostle Paul. Acts, the 4th chapter, verses 11 and 12. "Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which you must be saved." There is no other name. That is the name. It's the highest name there is. It's the name God brought through the angel Gabriel. And there's another one for your memory. Acts, the 4th chapter, verse 12. "There's no other name." Why in the world would you not get baptized in Jesus' name when it says, "Do all in the name of the Lord"? Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind which we must be saved. What a powerful scripture. Why would we not take the name of the Lord Jesus? Now there's a father motif in the Old Testament. Right? In Deuteronomy 8:5 it goes, "Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son." The 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy verse 6, it says, "Is not he your father who has bought you? He has made you and established you. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn.'" That's Exodus 4:22. When Moses left the presence of the burning bush, right? And he comes in. Israel is my, you should tell Pharaoh, Israel is my son, my firstborn. The father motif was already there amongst these people. Isaiah 63, verses 15 and 16. Look down from heaven and see, from your lofty throne, holy and glorious, where your zeal and your might, your tenderness and compassion are withheld from us. But you are our Father. Though Abraham does not know us, or Israel acknowledge us, you, Lord, are our Father. Redeemer from old is your name. Isaiah 64, verses 7 through 9.
Yet no one calls on your name or pleads with you for mercy. Therefore, you have turned away from us and turned us over to our sins. And yet, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all formed by your hand.
Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. These are all memorable scriptures showing Isaiah is a prophet under Hezekiah in the Old Testament. We're getting all these beautiful scriptures coming from Isaiah, and every single time that he's using the term Lord, unless it's otherwise stated, it's this I am, this God that was mentioned there in our scripture there in Exodus 6:3. When I didn't show Abraham my name, I didn't show, but now he showed Moses his name, his beginning name is I am, there in Exodus. And now he says it. So when you see the Lord capitalized, you understand that this is God speaking. And now he's telling these people that he is their Father. The Father motif is well established. So when Christ is using the Father, Son, the Son motif is not established. We understand the Messiah is to come in the Old Testament. We understand Moses said, one will come liken unto me. We understand Isaiah 7:14, that behold, a virgin will give birth. We understand that there are close to 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that Christ fulfilled in his first ministry. The rest are to be fulfilled in the Day of Atonement when he comes the second time. But we understand that it's all the Lord here, and that this is Jehovah. Jesus certainly implied he was the Son of God by repeatedly calling God his Father. 117 times are recorded in the New Testament. Jesus said emphatically in John 17:26, and I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. Jesus declared unto his disciples the Father's name. This phrase is the impetus for the question, who is the name of the Father? The Bible begins with a reference to God, in the beginning God. This is Hebrew word Elohim. There's about 2,570 verses that use it, the term Elohim in the Old Testament. References to God as Elohim in the Old Testament. Elohim refers to God's creative and governing powers. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Remember, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they don't get the name. They get the visions. But finally, in Exodus, he declares his name. He shows that his name is going to be Jehovah. It's changing. El Shaddai is used 48 times in the Old Testament. Adonai is used 300 times in the Old Testament. God is also referred to by the Hebrew word El. This means God Almighty. There are around 250 such references. It is in Exodus 6:3 that God first introduces himself as Jehovah. This is the way he is referred to most frequently, around 6,823 times. This name is used. All its actual references only appear 4 times in the King James Version. It is often indicated by all uppercase letters, Lord, This name is interpreted as the self-existing one, I am that I am. This name is often used in a compound manner. We will look at some of these as they give insight to attributes of God. Now remember, when God looked, read the, when God through Moses wrote the book of Genesis, Moses was looking back. So there are times that he'll use Jehovah, though Abraham and Isaac did not have this name yet. Okay, here's an example. I'll just read these for fast. There's so many scripture in it. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, is Genesis 22, verses 8 and 14. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord healeth thee. That's Exodus 15, 26. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is our victory, our banner. Exodus 17, verse 15. Jehovah Mekadesh, the Lord is our sanctifier. Exodus 31, 13. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Judges 6, 3 and 24. Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalms 23, verse 1. Jehovah Yusakeni, the Lord is our righteousness. Jeremiah 23, 6. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, ever present. Ezekiel 48, 35. So when we see references to Jehovah that have names behind them, we're seeing characteristics of God, how God's victory, God's power, God heals us, God's providing for us, God is our shepherd, God is our righteousness, God is always present for us, right? When we see scriptures like this, we need to understand that Christ is totally fulfilling these scriptures in his miracles, showing that the power of the Father is emanating from him, and that all these terms are being fulfilled in him, and that his name is Jesus Christ, that he's inheriting all what God is from the Old Testament and all the characteristics of God he's inheriting. Now, when we look at Mark, the first chapter, verses 2 and 3, anybody got that?
Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
Okay, that's fantastic. That's a quotation out of Isaiah 40, verse 3. Again here, this is John coming. When John first preaches, Christ has not even started his ministry. Christ could not start his ministry till he was 30 years old, because in the Old Testament, priests were 30 years old, especially any kind of a high priest. So Christ's whole life is around fulfilling the law of Matthew 5, 17 through 19. He's got to fulfill everything to deal with the priesthood. Isaiah 40, verse 3 says that there'll come a messenger, and in some Bibles it'll actually say, in Isaiah 40, verse 3, the voice of him who cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of Jehovah, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Prophecy tells us Jehovah is coming. So when John is preaching, he's preaching that Jehovah is coming. Okay, so Christ comes. Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21. Who's got that?
I do.
Okay, can you read that for us, Kelly?
When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
Hallelujah! Will God provide?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
God's the provider. He's showing he is the incredible provider. The spirit that created the heavens and the earth, that made and allowed the wheat to come forth, that put the fishes in the ocean, takes them, blesses them, and he feeds 5,000 people beside women and children. The first chapter of John says in verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." When John preached that he takes away the sins of the world, he's coming forth with the very terms Abraham used in Genesis 22. When Isaac looked up, when he was going to be killed by his dad, Abraham said, God himself will provide a lamb. Right? Finally, the lamb has been provided. God is providing the sacrifice for sin. Philemon 4, verses 19. Who's got that? Art Scott.
And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Okay, he's providing all of our needs. That's why we trust in him. He is Jehovah with us. His name, Jesus, is Jehovah's salvation. And all these aspects of him in the Old Testament are now being fulfilled. Jesus is providing for us. Right? He is Jehovah Jireh. Now the Lord that heals us. That's a very easy one. Matthew 4, verse 23. Somebody got that?
I have that.
Okay.
And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people.
So praise God when it sits there and tells us, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth, who's doing it? Jesus Christ. He's completely 100% healing. Healing all manner of disease. What's he fulfilling? He's fulfilling these Old Testament prophets so that they can understand Jehovah is amongst us. He's come. He's providing. He's healing. It is Jesus that gives us the victory. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 John 5, 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Yes, our victories are only in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our sanctifier. Hebrews 10, 10, "By the which we will be sanctified through the offerings of Jesus Christ once for all." Also, Hebrews 13, 12, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood." When the angels proclaimed the birth of Jesus in Luke 2, verses 14, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Jesus is the perfect peace. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you." That's John 14, 27, and John 10, 11, and 14. Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd. Doesn't he tell it to us in John 10, 27? Doesn't he say it, "I'm the good shepherd"? Psalms 23, when David's writing about Jehovah being the good shepherd. Who is the good shepherd? Jesus Christ. He's fulfilling all of these incredible things. Hebrews 13, 20 says, "Our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep." It also, in 1 Peter 5, 4, "He's our shepherd. Since our righteousness is filthy rags, who sanctifies?" Who makes us righteous? Right? From Isaiah 64, 60, or verse 6, we mostly definitely need the righteousness Jesus provides. Matthew 3, 15, Romans 3, 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, upon all who believe, for it made him to die for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God." Paul knew the understanding of all these scriptures in the Old Testament. You can also see that there in 2 Corinthians 5:21 and Philippians 3:9. They're all there. Now, the last one there, the Lord's presence, the Lord is there. You know, Colossians 1:19, For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Matthew 18:20. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He's omnipresent. He's there. He's here tonight. Whose name are we gathered tonight in?
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Who are we declaring is the Father?
Jesus.
We're declaring that Jesus Christ is the Father, that he is the eternal Spirit. John 3, verses 12. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Isaiah 43:10-11. You are my witnesses, say Jehovah, and my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Behold, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am Jehovah, and there is no Savior beside me. And here's where it says it. Jehovah is the only Savior. Mm-hmm. Jehovah's salvation. Put it down in your Bibles. Isaiah 43, verses 10 and 11. Christ is our salvation. Jehovah walks amongst us. Emmanuel walks amongst us. God with us. God manifested himself in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ declared the name of the Father, which is Jehovah's salvation. Hebrews 10:5, God prepares a body. What will be the name? Notice that it is the express image of his person. That's Hebrews 1:3. Jesus tells us in John 17:26, and I have declared unto them my name. This is in reference back to the Father mentioned at the start of verse 25. Do you know the name of the Father? Jesus declared it. He only declared it. He not only declared it, he manifested the name. John 17:6, I have manifested thy name unto them which thou gavest me out of the world. Is there a difference between declaring and manifesting? To declare means to state officially, formally, authoritatively, to make clear. There's an interesting verse in also Zechariah 14:9, relating to God's name. And Jehovah shall be king over all the earth, and in that day there shall be one Jehovah, and his name one. We know Zechariah was one of the last prophets of the Old Testament. We know that he dealt a whole lot with the Day of Atonement. And in Zechariah 14:9, it tells us that there's going to only be one name. That Jehovah will have one name throughout the entire earth. There's not going to be three gods. There's not going to be three names. One day all will acknowledge Jehovah the Father, the Eternal Spirit, the one true God who took on flesh by his fleshly name and without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. This manifestation of God was without a doubt Jesus Christ. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. 1 John 2:23. Why is this? Because the name of the Father was manifestly, plainly manifest. If Jesus was not the name of the Father, then the name of the Father is not in the New Testament. How do you deal with that? How does somebody deal with that? Father is not a name. It's a title. It's a position. It's an authority. Who declared the name of the Father? Jesus Christ. Who did Peter baptize? In what name did he baptize? Jesus' name. Where, who got the revelation that Christ was the Messiah? Peter. In Matthew 16:16. He held the keys. Who was given the keys? Peter opened it up on the day of Pentecost and declared the name of Jesus. He fulfilled Matthew 28:19. Ephesians 1:20-23. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's a beautiful scripture, Art. Put it down in your memory, boy. Ephesians 1:20-23. And every name that is named, for God said it. from above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's how powerful the name of Jesus is. That's what we're dealing tonight, the name of the Father. Someday all will know and will see the one whose name is above every name. And we're all, I want everyone over here to go to Philippians 2, verses 8 through 11. We're all going to take a look at that and read it in the various versions. Because this is one of Paul's powerful, powerful declarations. So take your time and find that. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures. Hebrews 2, verses 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praise unto thee? It's a quotation from Psalms 22, verses 22. David dealing with God. David dealing with Jehovah. I have declared thy name. And Paul tells us its fulfillment in Hebrews 2:12. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. What name did Jesus Christ declare? The name of Jesus. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Our family has a name. You know, I go on Facebook and I see Chris Schroeder. And then there'll be his wife. And I'll look over and guess what it says? Michelle Schroeder. She took his name in marriage. Guess what we are? We're the bride of Christ. We're the body of Christ. And guess whose name we've taken on? The name of Jesus Christ. When you get baptized in that watery grave, you get baptized into the name that all of heaven and all of the family of God is named after. Jesus' name. So it says in Ephesians 5, verses 30 through 32, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Verse 32, it says, this is profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. We have a bride. We are the bride of Christ, and take on his name. Colossians 2:9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. The Father did the miracles and manifested. Okay, let's all read that. Kelly, I'll have you read it for all the rest of us, and then we're going to have others read it. Philippians 2, verses 8 through 11, please.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
He's given him a name above every name. Let somebody come up to you and tell you the name of the Father. What's the name of the Father? Father! That's Greek hodgepodge and heresy. That's Greek hodgepodge and heresy. The name of the Father has been manifested. And it's manifested from the Son, who was filled with the eternal Father. And the name is Jesus, given by an angel. It's Jehovah's salvation. How in the world can we have another name higher than that? Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Okay, Michelle, you read that. Verses 9 through 11.
Because of this, God raised him up to the heights of the heaven and gave him a name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the the God, the Father.
Praise God. Sharon, you read it, verses 9 through 11.
Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Mm-hmm. It's there, folks. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Ephesians 1:19 through 21. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us toward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him up on his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Jesus Christ is exalted to the point where his name is not only exalted in this world, but in the one to come. He is ahead of all these angels that work and help with the church. It's so important to understand this, and I'm going to read here John 14. And I'm going to go again through verses 8 through 11. And just listen, folks, because we read it last week, but it's worth hearing again how plain Christ talks. John 14, verse 8 starts, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who's doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. It's not God the Son working through the Son of God. It's God the Father working through Jesus Christ, showing this incredible image of the Father, showing and manifesting the love that God has toward mankind, that he's going to give his only begotten Son to die on Calvary. It's the power of God in that humanity. It's the everlasting Father that's coming through the Son. It's not God the Son working through the Son of God. It's God the Father working through the Son, and his name is Jesus. And he's given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow. He is the one true living God. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I pray to God that anybody listening to this can open up their hearts. Father is not a name. It is absurd to think that Jesus revealed the name of the Father as Father. When he truly revealed the Father's name is Jesus, the Holy Spirit is sent in Jesus' name. The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Jesus. That's why Peter, Paul, the apostles to the Jew and Gentiles, baptized in Jesus' name. And next study is in this light on the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God. Whose Father?
Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.